All right, we are looking at the closing verses of the book of Colossians. So we've come to the end of this book. If we actually finish tonight, this will be our 60th message from this book. So 60 Sunday nights, we have turned to the book of Colossians and have considered what it is that the Lord is saying to us on these pages. It is a book that very much focuses on the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. But it is a book, as so many of the New Testament books, it actually was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church that gathered in the city of Colossae, which is in what is today Turkey. And it was one of several churches in that area, as we have noted and will be reminded of again this evening. So in this fourth chapter, starting at verse 7 on down through verse 14, we have greetings that are being passed on to the Colossians from various individuals who were present with the Apostle Paul. And so these people would have had some knowledge, it would appear, of the people in Colossae, or the people in Colossae would have had some knowledge of them. And so Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to pass along these greetings. And of course, we've looked at those verses, looked at the individuals that are there. Some of them are mentioned other places in Scripture, some of them not. And yet each of them, we are reminded, it was a person just like us, very similar to us, obviously different setting and circumstances, wore different kinds of clothes and lived in different kinds of houses and so on, but people just like us, real people. And so we find that even within and among these believers, there is this camaraderie, this companionship, this extending of greetings one to another, and so on. Starting at verse 15, we're still in this section that would contain greetings, but what we find is that rather than people with Paul that are extending greetings to the Colossians, we have Paul himself expressing certain greetings to not only the Colossians, but some others, as we will see. And then the final verse serves, though we, of course, have it in printed form, but in the original, if you notice verse 18, it says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul." And so it's likely that the preceding part of the book was written by someone else at Paul's dictation. So Paul is dictating, and they are doing the duty of a secretary, writing down his words in that letter. But when it comes to the end, Paul takes pen in hand and actually, with his own hand, closes off the letter. Now, that would have been pretty special, right? And there's probably good reason why the original is no longer known, right? Because how that would draw all kinds of undue attention, right? But nonetheless, it is very, very interesting that Paul, and that's not the only place, as we'll see, but he does attach that very personal close to his letter. So the title for this evening, quite simply, Final Apostolic Greetings and Signature. And so we come to the close of this letter in this way. Notice three things. First of all, a connection to Laodicea, which is another city in Turkey. And then secondly, a personal encouragement, because there is an individual that is mentioned by name with a word of encouragement to him in verse 17, Archippas. And then finally, the apostolic signature. Right. So first of all, this connection to Laodicea. Verse 15, salute or give greeting to the brethren which are in Laodicea. Right. So here he is asking the recipients of the letter, who were believers in Colossae. If you go back to verse 1, the book opens, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. And, of course, the term saints, we get, that's a term that is related to the word holy. So these are holy ones and faithful brethren. And, of course, the Bible's use of the term saint is not like the use of some churches and the term saint. You don't have to be special to be a saint, biblically speaking. You just have to believe in Christ, right? If you have come to understand your sinfulness before God, and you've come to understand the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God the Son took human form, paid in full the penalty for your sin on the cross, rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is coming again, right? And you have come to believe on Him, believe the testimony of Scripture, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then God calls you a saint. You are a holy one. You are one who is set apart unto Him. You are one who is consecrated, devoted unto Him in a very special way. You have been bought with a price, right? God the Son died, shed His blood to pay the penalty for your sin. So you are special, right? But anyone can be special like that, right? The Bible extends the invitation to all to believe on the Lord Jesus. So Paul is writing to the saints, to the holy ones and faithful brethren in Christ, which again just reminds us that that's what he's talking about, right? People who have believed on the Lord Jesus, and they happen to live in Colossae. So in chapter 4, verse 15, he's telling these people, these brethren, these believers who live in Colossae, and he's saying, pass on greetings to the believers that live in Laodicea. Laodicea as a city is mentioned in the Bible four times in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 1, and then in chapter 4 we saw it in verse 13, and then we see it here in verse 15 and again in verse 16, so four times in the book of Colossians. It is also included as one of the seven churches to whom the Lord Jesus sent messages in the book of Revelation. So the last book of our New Testament, written by the Apostle John, is the human author. And in the opening of that book, he sees a vision of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus tells him to write to these seven churches, and it names those seven churches, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. And the last city in that list is Laodicea. Okay, so it's one of these seven churches to whom the Lord Jesus specifically asked John to send a message. And that message is recorded in chapter 3 of Revelation, starting in verse 14 on to the end of the chapter. What is interesting, actually let's turn there just briefly. So if we turn to Revelation chapter 3, keep your finger in Colossians, we'll be right back. But if you turn to Revelation chapter 3, let's just notice this message. Verse 14. And unto the angel, or the messenger, of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And so it is interesting to think of the fact that here is this church, and by the time the Apostle John is writing the book of Revelation, which we don't have a precise date, but likely around 95 AD, so near the end of that first century, whereas the Apostle Paul is writing around 60-ish AD, so in 30 years' time. Okay. I have been pastoring this church for 30 years. 1994 we came. Okay. In 30 years' time. This church had gone from, we don't have a lot of details given to us by Paul in the book of Colossians, but every indication is that these are believers. There's no major alarms about wrongs or problems or issues or anything like that. I mean, just give greeting to that church in Laodicea, to Nymphas, and the church that meets in his house, and so on, and share this letter with them, and you read the letter I'm sending to them. And I mean, no indication. And in 30 years' time, we have the kind of rebuke that we just read. Coming from the Lord's mouth through the pen of the Apostle Paul, you're lukewarm, right? You're self-deceived. You're thinking that you're rich, that you're increased with goods. You're thinking that you have need of nothing. But the way I see it, right, on a true spiritual level, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, right? And the indication is that they've drifted, right? Their focus and their living and their lives are consumed with probably the stuff. I mean, they probably were materially rich. Spiritually, not so much, right? And so the Lord extends this rebuke. And of course, we are reminded that he's extending it because he loves them. Right? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So here is a church loved by the Lord. Here is a church that maybe didn't quite hear as carefully as they should have heard. What we find back in Colossians chapter 4 is that Paul is not only extending greetings to this church, but in verse 16, he's saying, when this epistle, that is the letter to the Colossians, when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Okay, and so we don't know what that second epistle is, but it's likely that Paul wrote a letter to them as well. And he's writing this letter to the Colossians, and he's saying, hey, when you're done, right, make sure that this is read in that church, and you read the letter that I wrote to them. Right? And so even as the Lord Jesus said at the close of his message in Revelation 3, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And folks, there is that need for us continually to be willing to hear what the Spirit says to the churches as we spend time in our Bibles, whether that's gathered together in a service like this, where one of the chief things that we're doing, in addition to singing hymns that are drawn from the biblical truths that we have, but also we are turning our attention to the Bible, to the Word of God. And it is God's intention that as we do that, that we aren't here just marking time, right? Because it's the religious thing to do. We aren't here just, you know, because we like the people around us. I mean, hopefully you do, right? But that's not really just why we're here. And then, of course, we have Bibles of our own. And so when we're at home, we can spend time reading that Bible on our own. But God wants us to hear what we're reading. Right? He wants us really to think about what we're reading. He wants us to put into practice what we're reading. Right? Again, all of that dependent upon His grace. Right? None of us are sufficient for this in ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We need the Lord for that. We can't walk as a Christian in this crazy world. We need the Lord for that. Right? We can't grow. Chapter 3 of Colossians talked about us putting off that old man, which is patterned after the sinful world around us, and putting on the new man, which is patterned after the image of Christ Himself, right? In His righteousness. We need the Holy Spirit's help for that. And one of the chief tools that the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. And so it would appear that this church in Laodicea wasn't as careful as they should have been. I'm sure that Colossians was read to them. I have no reason to think that it was not. And I'm sure that whatever letter Paul wrote directly to them was read to them. I have no reason to think that it was not. Right? But in 30 years' time, and again, some of those people may have passed away and so on, right? New people spring up, whatever, right? But likely, there were some people that when they get the letter from John, had received the letter from Paul. And in those intervening 30 years, they'd become a bit careless. Right? They had allowed other things to crowd out the testimony of Scripture. They had allowed other priorities to rise to the top in their life and in their thinking. Right? And so it is very interesting that here is this church. And these are the only times that it's mentioned here in Colossians and as we saw in the book of Revelation. Okay, so, I mean, the Lord, we have the completed scriptures. There are no more letters being written that are part of God's word. But I wonder, 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries, what kind of letter would be written to this church. Right? You know, I can look back over the last 30 years. Some of you were here 30 years ago as well. And of course, we've had a good number of people come through the doors and for one reason or another are no longer meeting with us. And you think, how have we done over the last 30 years? Right? And again, I'm not saying, we're not, obviously on a headcount basis, we're about where we were probably 30 years ago or maybe a little under actually. But I'm not really interested in that so much as I am in what would the Lord see in us, right? Would he see those that are wretched and miserable and blind and naked, right? Or would he see those that really are growing and following and serving him? So here is this greeting to this church. And the only other mention outside of this book of Colossians is that book of Revelation. Now, it is interesting to think of the fact that Paul asks the Colossian church to pass on his greetings to the Laodicean church. Clearly, Paul is aware of a connection between them, and these churches were only about 10 miles apart. What's interesting, this afternoon even, I was catching up on some little videos sent by my sister Maureen and her husband Rob, and one of the videos was from Laodicea. They were there. They were just there. I think it was the 16th of this month. They were there. The place is in ruins, right? But they were there. And he's panning the valley, right? And he's saying, just over there, that's where Colossae is, right? And pretty amazing. There was a church there. There was a community there. The community is gone as far as in the ancient place. They have done some archaeological digging there and so on. But here is this place mentioned in Scripture, right, that was not so far from Colossae. So clearly there was this connection. They're 10 miles apart. Paul obviously was expecting that there would be some back and forth between the believers in the two cities. But since verse 16 indicates that he's writing a letter to that city as well, would you not think that in that letter, that he is writing to the church at Laodicea, that he would have given greetings directly to them? Of course he would have. Right? Just like he did in this letter to the Colossians. So it is interesting to me in light of that he still asks the Colossian believers to greet the Laodicean believers. And what that would suggest to us is that Paul is intending to encourage connection between the two churches. Not so much that he's actually wanting them to say, well, Paul said to say hello, as he is wanting them to say hello. Right? He's encouraging a connection between these churches. Right? Fairly close in proximity, encouraging that connection. And so I think that is helpful for us to keep in mind. Right? Within the family of God, the body of believers, the Lord would encourage, especially when there is a like-mindedness. Obviously, today there are many flavors and stripes of churches, and we are distinguished in some cases, in some very important ways. Right? And some of those distinctions are such that we really can't, in good conscience, maintain very close connection with some professing churches. But nonetheless, especially to the extent that we can, the scripture seems to encourage that, right? That we would have that kind of communication one with another. You think of, we just had the Bames visiting with us from Italy. And, you know, what is so interesting, especially for me personally, and I guess probably for Cindy, is that we've known Stephanie for a long time, right? Before we were here, we were in Ohio. And Stephanie was just a little kid when we first met her in Ohio. And so now, so from a church in Ohio, here we are in British Columbia, and normally she and her family are ministering in Italy, right? At a church in Italy. And what is so interesting is that at that church in Italy, which, again, coincidentally, because at the time we didn't know that she would ever end up there, but we had some other friends from Ohio that were ministering at that church. And so we have been able to visit there. And we've met Isacco and his family. Isacco is the man that is there standing in Tom's place for the most part. They have some other speakers coming in as well, but he's the one doing the lion's share of the preaching of the word while Tom and Stephanie are away, right? So we have a connection there. And then you think of Tom and Stephanie, for example. I think he mentioned that they've got 22 supporting churches. And so between now and September, what they're doing is they're doing exactly what they did here. They're traveling to each of those churches and visiting and reporting and sharing, preaching the word, and so on, right? And there's these connections. And just as another small world illustration, when they arrived in South Carolina, they were staying with some very good friends of theirs. And it just so happens, as we got to chatting, the man of this, there's this couple, a family, right, that they're staying with, or they were, I don't know if they're still there, but they were. The man is the brother of the wife of Cindy's nephew.
Say what?
Okay, you follow that connection? Okay, so Cindy has a nephew. His wife is the sister of these very good friends of the Bames. We had no clue. Bames had no clue, right? But again, it's just, and they're believers, right? Nephew and his wife are, you know them, right? Julia, right? Josh and Julia came up for Casey's wedding, right, at the Spratts. He was taking the pictures, the photographer, right? So Julia's brother is good friends with Tom and Stephanie, right? So my point is, within the body of Christ, right, the Lord encourages these kinds of connections that we would have one with another. Let's not neglect them, let's not minimize them, let's cherish them, right? And truly enjoy and benefit from these connections one with another. And so Paul, though he was writing a letter to the church at Laodicea, asks the church at Corinth to be sure to give greetings, right? Encouraging that fellowship with that other church. Then also in verse 15, we have mention of Nymphas. So give greetings, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Now some translations have Nympha, and that would be a feminine name, and the church that is in her house. And what's interesting is in the Greek, the spelling is exactly the same, and the only difference is the accent. Whether the accent comes over the last syllable or the accent is on the first syllable. That distinguishes between masculine and feminine. And so you have various manuscripts of the Book of Colossians, and some of them have it masculine, that different accent. Some of it have it feminine. And then, of course, the pronoun, his house or her house, is masculine or feminine to match. All right. We can't tell for certain whether it was masculine or feminine, but we do know that there's this person and that a church was meeting in their house and that Paul is sending greeting to them as well. It is likely that this church was the church in Laodicea, that Nymphas was living in Laodicea, given the way the verse is arranged here. And so we have Paul writing to the church at Colossae, also extending greetings to the church at Laodicea and to this individual in whose house likely that church was meeting. This is part of the Word of God. Right? This is part of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, I mean, Paul is dictating to whoever's writing it down, right? But the Holy Spirit wanted this to be communicated. And I do think that one of the reasons is that it stands as a reminder for us of the care that this man, as a preacher of the gospel, as a missionary, laborer for Christ, the care that he has for these churches. Right? Obviously, the churches are made up of people. It is a reminder of the care that the apostle has for the people that make up these churches. And since it's God's word, it's a reminder of the care that God has for the people that make up these churches. God gave the apostle Paul to the churches. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, that's part of the gift of the Son of God. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. This is part of the gift of God to his church. Folks, part of the gift of God to his church are spiritual leaders like the Apostle Paul who care. They really, truly do care. Right? Look back at chapter 2. Verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict or struggle I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What are you so concerned about, Paul? What are you interested in these people for? Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, right? So he says, oh, that you would know this great care that I have for you, right? And he spoke of that also. If you keep your finger in Colossians, but turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, folks, we're in this closing section of the book of Colossians. There are these greetings back and forth, but don't turn your brain off, right? This isn't just filler. This isn't just, you know, words to fill up space. The Lord is trying to communicate something to us. And I truly believe that part of what he's trying to remind us of is the care that he himself, through his servants, has for those who make up his church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, in really attempting to defend his apostleship, his position and place among the church or with the church, gives testimony to some of the many hardships that he has endured. Notice verse 23, contrasting himself to false apostles. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Well, why on earth are you doing all of that, Paul? What would move someone? I mean, and it's repeatedly. I mean, it's not first time trouble happens, he's done, right? He carries on. He carries on. He carries on. Why? Next verse. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This man cared. Right? He's asking for these greetings to be shared because he cares. Right? And I would say that it is impossible that the Apostle Paul cares more than God cares. He is an example of the kind of care that God himself has for us as his church. And so it is a special thing that he would write to these Colossians, and as he writes to them, he asks them to give greeting not only to the church at Laodicea, but also to Nympha, the church that is in his or her house. And then verse 16. Again, we're in this connection to Laodicea. The church at Colossae has a connection to Laodicea. We've already touched on some of this. But when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. As far as I can recall, this is the only place in Scripture that this kind of practice is actually explicitly mentioned. Okay. In other words, here is this letter that the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's saying, I'm writing it to you, and he was, right? But he understood that this letter would be beneficial not only to the Colossians, but also to the Laodiceans. And we know from personal experience that this letter is beneficial not only to the Colossians, not only to the Laodiceans, but to Grace Baptist Church of the Comox Valley. Right? And so to me, it's really quite interesting that we have in Scripture this recognition that Scripture is beneficial to all believers, right? And so he is encouraging them. Whether Paul personally was conscious of the fact that this letter was part of God's word, we can't say for certain. And I say that because he wrote another letter that verse 16 is talking about that isn't part of Scripture, right? The letter to the Laodiceans. Now, there are some commentators that say, oh, well, maybe that was a letter to the Ephesians. And they have reasons for saying that. But it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me personally. But again, whatever. Even they can't say for certain that that was referring to the letter to the Ephesians. So I think it's likely that there was another letter. And it's not part of Scripture. No one knows where it exists. No one knows its content. We just don't know. Other than we knew at one point it did exist. Okay? So, but what is interesting is that this letter that is part of Scripture, Paul was asking that it be shared. Right? And so we see here a testimony to the value of Scripture. Right? I think this is an interesting time to pull in another cross-reference from Peter's writing. So keep your finger in Colossians, but turn to 2 Peter. And chapter 3. And this is a letter that is written near the end of Peter's life. He is very aware that he may soon die. In fact, chapter 1, verse 14, he says, knowing that I shortly must put off this my tabernacle, right? So he's expecting to die soon, right? So in this letter that he is writing near the end of his life, and we don't know exactly when he died, but it was probably after the book of Colossians was written. But notice what he says. Chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about that which will happen when the Lord Jesus returns, right? And the world as we now know it will be consumed and remade. Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And Peter actually speaks of that here in verse 13. We, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Okay, so seeing that you look for such things, verse 14, be diligent. And I think a parallel to that is what Jesus said in Revelation 3, the end of the book, of the chapter. He that has a ear to hear, let him hear. Right? Be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Right? In other words, the Lord's delay is that others might come to be saved. And that's mentioned earlier in the chapter. But then notice what he says. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which, Peter acknowledges, are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Right? And so, folks, part of what Peter is saying is, listen, it is possible for us to be led away with the error of the wicked. But what will help us, what will help prevent that, are the scriptures, like the writings of the Apostle Paul. Right? He calls Paul's writings scripture. Right? Very interesting that we find that in our Bibles. Right? And so it's not just a letter. It's God's word, right? It is Holy Scripture that is given. And it will be helpful for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when Paul is saying to the Colossians, be sure that this letter is read to the Laodiceans, I think that's kind of the idea, right? There is spiritual profit for us to have for hearing the Word of God and giving attention to the Word of God, the letters of Paul, the letters of Peter, the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And all of the Old Testament writers as well, obviously, right? So this sharing of the letters is a testimony to the value of Scripture, right? Again, Colossians is unique, right? In that we have explicitly this idea of the sharing of this letter. Very interesting. Then we have this word of personal encouragement, verse 17. Say to Archippus, or Archippus, I don't know exactly where the accent is, which syllable is accented, but say to him, take heed unto the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. We do not know a great deal about this man. It's likely that he is the individual that is mentioned in Philemon, verse 2. We know that Philemon lived in Colossae. And in Philemon, Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, who likely was Philemon's wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Okay, so again, some would speculate that Archippus may have been Philemon's son. That's a reasonable possibility. In any case, it seems likely that he was part of his household in some way, right? Whether it was some other relative or whatever, we don't know. He is identified there, assuming it's the same individual. Likely it is the same individual. It is interesting that in Philemon, he is described as a fellow soldier, right? So he is also laboring in the gospel with the Lord, with the apostle Paul, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians, Paul says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. So again, it's interesting that he's asking the church to communicate this to him. That would indicate perhaps that Archippus was traveling somewhere, and he's asking the church to be sure to pass that on to him. Again, speculation, we don't know for certain. But the Apostle Paul feels strongly enough to give this word of encouragement, right? Take heed to the ministry. Pay attention, right? Be diligent. You know, don't be slack in this. There's a call for carefulness to the ministry which he had received in the Lord, right? So it's obviously some kind of spiritual ministry, likely preaching the word, given he's identified as a fellow soldier in Philemon. And Paul's admonition and encouragement is that he fulfill that ministry. The indication from the language here is that this is not necessarily a one-time thing, right? That, okay, just do it and you're done, but a continual thing, right? That this would be a continual ministry, right? And so the need to fulfill it and the encouragement to fulfill it, in a sense, becomes more important because you're going to have to keep at it, right? You're going to have to get up and do it again, right? You are going to have to not grow weary in well-doing, Right? This is something that is worth your attention and time and effort so that it be fulfilled. Right? And it's interesting, preceding Paul's writing of this. So when he's writing Colossians, he's in prison. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, we have the historical record of the time before Paul was in prison. And what was happening is, as he was making his way back to Jerusalem, he had been traveling, preaching the gospel. As he was making his way back to Jerusalem, there would be those whom the Holy Spirit would give a message to for Paul and say, you know, bonds and imprisonment await you. Okay? You're going to go to Jerusalem? Expect to be imprisoned. And of course, we know that that's exactly what happened. But listen to what Paul says. And here in Miletus, he has called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. So this is on the coast. Colossae, Laodicea are inland. Okay, Ephesus is to the west of them on the coast of the Aegean Sea. So notice what he says. Verse 18, when they were come, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go, bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now listen to what he says. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, so he's writing to Archippus. And I'm sure Archippus' situation was different, but his ministry was similar. And the encouragement and the exhortation is the same. Archippus, take heed. Take heed, where did it go here? Unto the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Paul is saying, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I may be in prison. That doesn't move me. All I want is to finish my ministry. To finish well is what he's saying. And so to Archippus, undoubtedly a younger man in the faith, undoubtedly different circumstances, as I say. But any minister of the gospel, really, and in a sense, any Christian, ought to have a desire to finish well. If that's going to happen, you're going to have to pay attention. 30 years later, you're going to be lukewarm? Or are you still going to be on fire? Serving the Lord. I mean, you know, we're just us. We're just simple, ordinary people, right? That's okay. The God of heaven is pleased to take simple, ordinary people who love him more than anything and use them in his service, right? But there are many things that would sidetrack us. There are many things that would distract us. There are many things that would trip us up and cause us to stumble. So we need to take care. We need to recognize every day our dependence upon the Lord. Take the counsel of His Word. Take its warnings. Take its admonitions. Pray them back to the Lord. Say, Lord, if I am going to fulfill this ministry, I need Your help. Right? I hear the counsel of an apostle telling me to take heed. Lord, help me to take heed that I might fulfill it. Right? Very interesting. Personal challenge. Exhortation, encouragement to Archippus. We don't know anything more about that man. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll find out. But I am sure that he would bear testimony. You know, we got that letter from Paul, and he mentioned that to me, and I never forgot. And by God's grace, I fulfilled that ministry. What a wonderful testimony. And then we have the signature. An apostolic signature. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. And there it would have been. Some suggest from various other passages of Scripture that Paul's eyesight was very poor. And in fact, in one of, like he mentions his own handwriting a number of times. 1 Corinthians 16:21, Galatians 6:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:17, Philemon 19, he mentions it, right? And in one of those, I think it's in Thessalonians, he talks about what large letters he's writing. And again, when your eyesight is failing, right, the large letters help. And so it's possible that, there were large letters. There's Paul, P-A-U-L, or however you spell it in Greek, right? But Paul's hand took the pen and signed this letter. Very personal part of that, right? And again, testifying to his personal interest in these people. But then he says, two things. Remember my bonds. Remember my chains. Remember my imprisonment. Why do you suppose he's saying that? If he were alive today and, Canada Post shows up and here's this letter and we open it and it's Paul, it's from Paul. Hey, everyone, we got a letter from Paul. And when we get to the end, we see that there in his own hand, remember my chains. What would you do with that if he were alive today? And we knew that in Rome, our brother is in prison. What would you do with that? Well, again, it's a precious thing, right? We know that there he is in that place, and he's caring for us and thinking of us and praying for us. He says in the letter that he's praying for us. Precious thing, yes. But maybe it would encourage us to pray for him too, right? Right? To not forget to pray for him too. But also, it does bear witness, even as we saw in 2 Corinthians, right? In chapter 11, where he's listing out the things that he endured, all for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does it not remind us of really how important and precious this message is? That we then, in the first century, and repeated again and again and again over the course of church history, there have been preachers in prison. It's worth that much. It is that valuable. It is that important. If it cost you your liberty, it would be that valuable. It would be worth it. When Paul is writing what he's writing to the Corinthians, he's not writing that they would feel sorry for him. Right? He's writing to underscore his own personal commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. And he is saying it is absolutely worth all of that. And again, when you think of it, right, who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of the living God. He is the creator of all things. Paul wrote about him here in this epistle to the Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. And Paul was made a minister, a servant of that person. Right? Remember my bonds, remember my chains, right? Remember my personal commitment to the God of heaven. Right? We're not counting the cost in that sense, being willing to suffer affliction for his sake. Remember my bonds. Several applications from that. And then, grace be with you. Grace be with you. The Apostle Paul, when he was dealing with what he refers to as a thorn in his flesh, besought the Lord that the Lord would deliver him from that. And the Lord's answer to him was no. Well, it wasn't just no. It was no, and my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And again, it's not strong in my own strength. It's the power of Christ in us. And folks, that's the testimony of God's grace, right? We all need it. If we are going to live the kind of life that Colossians chapter 3 talks about, this transformed living, if we're going to live the kind of life that Romans 12 that we're studying on Sunday mornings is like, we need God's grace. We need his help. And his help is available. When Paul writes these words, grace be with you, that's part of the Word of God too. Aren't you glad? Right? Aren't you thankful that God has grace that is sufficient? Right? The challenges that we will face in the future, we know not entirely what that would be, right? I mean, we have some experience in the past, certainly in terms of walking with the Lord and knowing the weakness of our flesh and our inclination to sin still, right? We understand that we need God's grace. We can be encouraged that God's grace will be. be with you. Right? Amen. He closes. So we have this epistle to the Colossians. I'm glad that we have this in our Bibles. Very helpful. Testimony of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Encouragement to follow him in sanctification and so on. Help with our relationships, one with another. These things that we've studied all along the way here. And may the Lord bless this word to our hearts for his glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that Paul cared. We thank you that he was a willing servant of yours. And through his pen, as it were, we have this record, this letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae. Help us, Lord, to hear. Help us to take heed. Help us, Lord, to avail ourselves of the promised grace to help us follow you in a manner that is pleasing unto you. Help us, Lord, to be useful in your service. Help us in living before our community. May we truly show the love of Christ to them. And may you be pleased, Lord, to draw others to come to know the Lord Jesus as we have come to know him, whom knowing by faith is life eternal. We have much to look forward to. And we pray, dear God, that you would help us fulfill the ministry that we have received of you. We will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.